وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله خيرا as always Hazrat Maulana Salim Saab for all your duas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest rahmah on you. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إن الله مع الصابرين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, a unique quality of the patient ones. After discussing the inevitability of trials, Allah declares, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, and give glad tidings to the patient ones. Thereafter, the attributes of the patient ones are discussed in the following verses. Those who, when adversity afflicts them, they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily to Allah we belong, and to Him is our return. This phrase includes many dimensions and is a great source of consolation. At the outset, the reciter admits that he belongs to Allah. Since a person is a slave of Allah and is His creation, he has to be totally content with Allah's decision. We belong to Allah. And whatever life and wealth Allah chooses to take from us, these also belong to Him. Whatever Allah chooses to do with His creation is His right. And no one has the authority to object, nor vent His displeasure, neither by heart nor by tongue. Once, when the grandson of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to leave the world, the daughter of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called for her father. He sent salam to her with the following message. Verily, to Allah belongs that which He takes and that which He gives. Everything has a prescribed lifespan. So be patient and hope for Allah's reward. The second part of the Quranic verse is an announcement and admission that we are poor to return to Allah when we will receive the reward for all lost things. This reward is far superior to the limited things of this world, which people grieve to lose. The separation from deceased kith and kin is only a temporary one. Where they have gone, we are surely to go to. There, in a place of bliss and happiness, we will, insha'Allah, meet once again. In Tirmidhi Sharif, it is narrated that when a child of a person passes away, Allah asks his angels, "Have you taken away the apple of his eye?" When they replied in the affirmative, Allah asked further, "What did my servant have to say?" They replied, "He praised you and said, Verily to Allah do we belong, and to Him is our return. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Upon hearing this, Allah instructs the angels, "Build for my servant a mansion in heaven and call it the Baytul Hamd, the home of praise." Another hadith reads as follows: whenever a Muslim man or woman recalls a difficulty which may have occurred some time before, then recite, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," and he recites this, "Verily to Allah do we belong, and to Him we shall return." Allah grants him the same reward which he acquired the day the difficulty had afflicted him. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whenever the strap of a person's shoe breaks, then too he should recite Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, because this is also a form of difficulty. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala relates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the person who says Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un when in adverse conditions, Allah will grant him recompense and a good life in the hereafter. Allah will also grant him something better in exchange for what he lost. The collective and special mercies of Allah. After explaining the qualities of the patient ones, Allah makes mention of the glad tidings these people are worthy of. He says, these are the ones upon whom the collective and special mercies of Allah descend, and these are the rightly guided ones. The word salawat is the plural of salah, which means mercy. The common word for mercy is rahmah, which is also mentioned in this verse. So some commentators maintain that the word rahmah is added for emphasis. The commentator Allama Baydawi rahmatullah alayhi explains that when the word salah is used with reference to Allah, it denotes purification and forgiveness. When its plural is used, it refers to a multitude of the same. Mercy generally refers to compassion and favors. Some commentators say that the word salah refers to general mercies and rahmah refers to special mercies. And these are the rightly guided. This is due to the fact that such people are happy with the decision of Allah and express it verbally by declaring, verily to Allah we belong and to Him is our return. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. By saying this, they have attained the right path. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala says that together with the promise of various types of mercies, the mention of being rightly guided is a great favor of Allah in itself. Now we discuss some pointers concerning patience. It is the system of the world that difficulty and pain are always put to the fore. Neither ease nor adversity lasts forever. The believer and mu'min exercises patience and is grateful to Allah. Those who are impatient are deprived of reward, and gradually, though it be after some time, they too will be forced to be patient and forget the calamity. However, this patience is of no avail. The patience which earns one virtue and reward is that which is exercised upon the first occurrence. Sayyidina Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, quoting the words of Allah, that, O son of Adam alayhi salam, should you exercise patience immediately upon the advent of a calamity, anticipating the reward thereof, I will accord you no lesser reward than heaven and Jannah. Bukhari Sharif and Muslim record an event narrated by Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, wherein the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed by a lady who was crying beside a grave. So Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, fear Allah and exercise patience. The woman, not recognizing the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, retorted, go away, leave me alone, because the calamity which has afflicted me has not afflicted you. That is, if the same had befallen you, then you would know what it is like. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam walked away. When someone informed the woman who it was to whom she had spoken so harshly, she hastened to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's presence. She was surprised not to find any guard at the door, because she expected that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam lived in luxury and employed guards at the door. It was astonishing to her that the leader of the creation led such a simple life. Addressing the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she said, I did not recognize you, due to which I spoke the way I did. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told her, true patience is that which is exercised upon the initial advent of the calamity, because after the expiry of some time, it will come on its own. So this hadith highlights the fact that the patience referred to in the Quran in hadith, regarding which numerous virtues have been expounded, is that patience which is exercised upon the initial onset of the adversity. Immediately upon the death of a person, For upon losing a sum of wealth, the heart is grieved. To be patient at this instance holds great value. In reality, patience is that which is exercised at the time when the heart aches, because with the passage of time, the effect will naturally decrease until it is no longer felt. After a while, when the grief is forgotten, this will not be termed patience, neither does it hold any virtue. A believer and mu'min and a non-believer, a kafir, are all the same in this regard. The patience for which a person is rewarded is the one exercised when the grief is still fresh. The heart is restless. Evil thoughts plague the mind. The tongue wants to object to Allah, and the soul yearns to act contrary to the Islamic laws. Patience at this time is a source of great reward. For the heart to be grieved upon the demise of someone, or the eyes to shed tears, or for the tongue to express the grief, are not signs of impatience. It is narrated in Bukhari Sharif that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present when his son Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala anhu was about to leave the world. Some tears welled up in the Surah Park sallallahu alaihi wasallam's eyes, upon which Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu inquired, "How is it that you weep, O Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since the common people weep at the loss of their children?" So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "This is a natural compassion which Allah has placed in the heart. Tears may flow and the heart may be grieved, but the tongue will only say that which is pleasing to Allah. O Ibrahim, we are indeed saddened by your separation." Another hadith tells us that Allah does not punish a person for the tears of the eyes, nor for the grief of the heart, but will punish for the utterances of the tongue, or may forgive the same. Punishment will be meted out for any objections made against Allah. If a person says that he is happy with the decree of Allah, wherein good lies, then Allah will be merciful towards him. Just as the uttering of any wrong word is prohibited and constitutes a sign of impatience, so too will be the carrying out of any deed which is contrary to sabr or which is the practice of non-Muslims. Some people are in the habit of slapping their faces when confronted by any difficulty, especially upon the death of a child. They even bang their heads against the wall, tear their clothes, and they say foolish things like, "It was only my surviving child. Could not Allah find another life to take?" These are all ignorant practices. To object to Allah constitutes an act of disbelief and kufr. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "That person is not from us, from amongst us, who slaps his face, tears his clothes, and utters complaints of ignorance. In certain places, all the hair is shaved off as a token of mourning. It is also generally the practice of women to wail and scream excessively." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that he shall have nothing to do with those who shave their heads, wail excessively, and tear their clothing. Upon the demise of someone dear, some women wail so much that it can be heard outside the house. For 6 months up to a year, they would sit before a visitor and continue weeping. They would address the deceased saying, "Oh my beloved, where have you gone? To whom have you left me? You were so perfect." In this manner, they continue talking and crying. This becomes their daily practice for months on end, and in spite of the prohibition from the Islamic laws of Sharia. It is reported in the hadith, "Allah curses the one who wails as well as the listener." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also cursed such people. The listeners are also included in the curse because they become the cause for this wailing, which is never practiced in solitude. It is recorded in Muslim Sharif that the people who do not repent for their wailing will be raised on the day of judgment in such a way that they will be clothed with garments of tar and they will have dermatitis. The tar referred to is an extract of a tree which the Arabs used to apply on a rash, which has an acidic effect. The itch burns out, eventually offering relief on the day of judgment. The one who wailed will be made to suffer from severe dermatitis. It will be as if he is weaning clothing of rash. The Tao will be applied on this, causing the person to suffer even more. It is common practice that when a person who suffers from eczema is given Ta to apply, the resultant pain experience is unbearable. If this is the pain of this world, one cannot imagine what it will be like in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Ameen.